Welcome to Life Sciences Fusion, a Cognizant podcast. In this series, we talk with industry peers, partners, and Cognizant thought leaders about what is real, what is next, and what it takes to connect breakthrough ideas to execution and meaningful outcomes. This is not a conversation about hype. It is a conversation about how to make decisions, drive transformation, and make an impact. Let's get into it.
In today's world, AI is pervasive in every part of the industry. Drug discovery applications from target identification to molecule design get some of the headlines, but there's dramatic change happening in the space of CRM. And there's really three macro things that are happening within the industry that are really driving our strategies and some of the technology change that we see. One is the relationships, whether it's a rep with a doctor, an MSL with a practice, or direct to consumer as e-commerce and other kinds of consumer relationship are established. Two is how we are looking at Salesforce decisions around Salesforce Viva platform selection to drive these CRM campaigns and manage these relationships. And third is, where does AI play? What is the inflection point of AI? How do we start to implement that into our programs, our CRM strategies? So Dirk, as you work with clients, as you see the space developing, how do companies need to really think about their CRM programs in preparation for these dynamics and integrating AI?
I think the biggest question that customers are facing with all the pressure and challenges that they are facing from the industry, from the new development around AI, is literally to say, how can we actually make choices on the platform overall or in the details on how to implement those systems with a prediction of how does it look like in 6 or 12 months. And we shouldn't look at the CRM just as a single unit. It's embedded in a large ecosystem of commercial application around marketing, about patient services. And as you said, also in that wider scale of clinical research, often even really research as such in rare diseases. If they look at it very closely, that mantra that you had in the past of configuration first, out of the box, I think it becomes really a absolute cornerstone of what you need to implement. If you're going away from it, you're going to struggle down the road with integrating your AI, utilizing your AI. The speed of development in that area is so fast that anything that you start customizing is really being outpaced by what your ecosystem can provide you. And I think this is one of those key items that when we speak with our customers, the timeline that we're looking at to get something online, those problems are not anymore 2-3 years for a market. They are 6 months, 12 months maximum in order to utilize those things.
If I was to think about what the sort of best ways, you're hitting some of the key elements here around treat your CRM not as a standalone tool, but as an interoperable backbone.
Yeah. That CRM might be the biggest piece in your commercial ecosystems, but it's not the only one. There are often 5, 6, 7 other tools that the sales rep, the MSLs, the patient services really is using. And you need to look at this one in a holistic area. They're connecting the data that really, flow of your customer action flows through the systems uninterrupted is so critical and so fundamental And it's also fundamental for the AI to make the AI being able to really see the big picture and give the right proposals for the next action for the best email put forward to your customers. And then on the other side, you need to look at what's your first short-term disruptions? How do you look at the long-term games? Even when you go, as a lot of companies for very good reasons do, going from Viva Salesforce CRM to Viva Vault CRM, even then, I don't see a lot of them just doing a lift and shift approach. They take all those forces that you talked about, Ryan, on and say, how can I actually bring that new tool for our sales reps, for our MSLs, really on the next level? And AI is probably in the center that it needs to be enabled while that shift happens. And it's so critical to understand that these processes, these projects in the next couple of years are not just lift and shift projects.
Yeah, so really kind of taking a look at the business and these macro shifts that are happening in the market, how to further leverage that technology to then have a meaningful relationship change. So not just you know, impacting the sales call planning and scheduling and administrative functions, but really leveraging that AI to have a more meaningful dialogue, better leverage that 90 seconds that a sales rep has with a doctor, or to better connect with, you know, a patient who's on therapy and giving them the tools to be successful on therapy.
Yeah, I would go even a step beyond that. It's not only those 90 seconds. I think it's this whole experience of conversation with your stakeholders, be that the HCP directly, be that often with the office administrator, be that with the pharmacist, with all the other organizational parts in that ecosystem. Yeah. And the more pressure, also regulatory or financially from the insurance part, comes into that picture, specifically in your diseases and oncology, they're very pricey. You're not just speaking to the HCP, you're speaking to the entire ecosystem to make an impact in the market. And I think that is where those CRM tools play the crucial role. But you need to understand it's not the only thing that you that plays a crucial role. And the task for the organization is really building that foundation that you can have an end-to-end process of communication with that ecosystem of yours.
Now, when you think about implementing AI within these systems, you mentioned earlier in the conversation leveraging the out-of-the-box capabilities. So what are some other ways, some other considerations that businesses should have in leveraging this technology and implementing this technology in their CRM programs?
For me, in AI, it's almost a not even a cornerstone. It needs to be something deeply fundamental. Let's look back 12, 24 months we've been with AI when it really popped up, the ChatGPT created all the excitement and the fuss and the in across all industries, and where we are today. It is very, very hard to predict where anything goes in the next 24 months. Yeah, you might have a visibility of the next 6 months. If you're lucky, you can make good guesses for the next 12 months. But beyond that, it becomes extremely difficult. So whatever you're implementing, it needs to be usable from day one. It needs to bring our ROI from day one. And it needs to fit in the ecosystem. Almost none of our customers only rely on CRM embedded AI. They all have enterprise AIs that serve specific purposes that make more predictive analysis on large data. You need to look at it, use those tools and build yourself an infrastructure where you can very quickly adapt when new AI function and features and abilities coming out. So you can actually plug it in the agent-to-agent conversation where within your CRM, you're using everything that's embedded, maybe also what you can configure and enhance for your own purpose, but make sure that that is also able to grab into your enterprise AI and pull those in. And whenever new things coming up, that you can easily switch something off and switch the better one on within days. And I really mean within days.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I imagine that reduces some of the complexity and burden on IT departments and makes it a little easier to roll out some of these programs more efficiently, more effectively, so that teams can start using them, commercial teams can start using them.
Once you have the environment and the approach properly set up, I would agree with you, Brian. But that's why in the beginning, you have to think about not only the CRM AI itself, but you have to think about your enterprise ecosystem and how you set that up. Once that is set up, I would agree with you, then it's faster to switch it on and switch it off. But you have to have that that vision. And for me, that's not only a pure technical question, because a lot of the demands, or the demands always coming from the business that say, I would need X, Y, and Z. And how do you define which one should go first, which one really brings the ROI? It's a very close collaboration with business to see, yeah, you don't want to just switch on 50 agents. Yeah, you need to find those 10 agents that make the impact, that really helps the colleagues out in the field, the MSLs, the sales reps, et cetera, to really make an impact. And I think that's a conversation that you have to have with your business part.
Which kind of leads us into the next topic here, which is, how do you measure success, right? You talked about a number of things that we need to do before we talk about technology, before we talk about implementing platforms or configuring them, you know, really rethinking your CRM approach. You know, how do you start with those measurable outcomes? What are we trying to achieve, and then track progress, along the way?
Yeah, and I think now it becomes really also tricky when I speak about ROI times of weeks and months. We need to figure out what are KPIs that really shows us the impact. We can't have lagging indicators that shows us that months later, yeah, because it needs to be literally in real time to see if an agent or an agent group really creates the impact that we are thinking it should create. And in this area, it's often very difficult to have very precisely measured what is success, what is not success. Yeah, we can say the preparation time of a sales report call goes down, or the post-call documentation time goes down. Maybe the time that a sales rep speaks with the HCP goes up or down. Yeah, but does it really mean directly it was successful or it was not successful? Yeah, did it create that impact? So also here, the ROI that we need to look at, or the KPIs that we need to look at, is more the end-to-end process. Yeah, and the sum often of those KPIs. Do we see more emails opening? Do we see more events participations, web session participations? Yeah, where we can obviously not directly one-to-one say that has an impact on revenue, but we can fairly certainly say that most likely has an impact. If there's more interest that's being shown by the HCP to consume the content that's being provided, we're most certainly going to have an impact as well, because the HCP wouldn't spend the valuable time if the content wouldn't be right.
So looking beyond any individual metrics and really looking at what is that halo effect? So time with doctor, important metric, but also looking at how it's impacting other touch points. You mentioned clinical congress or events. What kind of digital connections, whether it's through emails or otherwise, you know, are being consumed.
That's a paradigm shift that we see. The life science industry, for very good reason, is often not the first one and the fastest one to adapt new technology. But I think we can all agree that AI impact, the possible impact on the way of working and the way of working with our customers, we can't wait 2 or 3 years, as it often happened in the past, where life science, for compliance reasons, for regulatory reasons, wait until everything is established extremely well from the technology and how you're actually using it, also from a business side. And that is something that I see in the next 2-3 years as the main topic that we're going to speak with our customers on and on and on. And that conversation will shift, because we're going to go and have far more AI tools, AI agents that's being pre-built from the CM companies within the organizations, but also they're probably coming extra third-party provider that actually said, I'm focusing on a certain set of agents and provide best-in-class agents that customers need to actually consume within their CRM.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting couple of years here. You know, as AI changes, it seems every couple of months, that prediction ability, predictability that you mentioned, going to be quite challenging.
It's going to be quite challenging. And just as a side note, me being more a technologist, I totally recognize, and I have those permanent conversations with our colleagues about change management. How do we actually also get the change of using those tools and the different way of working is extremely important as well. We might actually give the best agent to the sales rep, but if they don't use it, if they don't trust it, if they don't like what they're seeing, if they can't give feedback, if they're thinking the agent overrules them all the time, you have won nothing. Yeah, it needs to be introduced, and I think that's a very big task for any organization to start that change and to continue with that change and to enable those people that using suddenly technology that no one was thinking of 3 years really.
So are there ways that companies should be approaching that change management with?
Yeah. One of the things that also my colleagues here at Cognizant really thinking of, and you typically have in those discovery design phase, you typically have the business consultants, you've got the technologist, you get the user experience expert. What we see as well here is that often change and training colleagues already stepping into that conversation at the very early time, sitting at the table and say, how can we make sure that the application is designed in a way that features those points? Features human in the loop, features feedback that I can give, features explainability where the AI agent says, why did I come up with that suggestion? Yeah. So that is also incorporated, because that reduces later on that ramp up time. It reduces the resistance to use those tools from sales. And to be very frank, it might actually reduce entirely your training time. Some of our companies says, almost, let's not train. It should be Apple-like experience. Let's not think about 3 days training. Let's get it into the application, almost self-explanatory.
Interesting. So you're integrating sort of the change management with the actual implementation.
Right from the start.
Well, Dirk, I think this conversation has been great. I appreciate your insights. Some of the things that we learned here are, one, really think through your CRM strategy. Don't just take what you're doing today and apply it to a new technology platform, really rethink how the environment is being reshaped and then form the technology to it. And when we're forming that technology, you know, make the right platform selection to serve those needs, leverage the out-of-the-box capabilities that are going to reduce some of that burden on IT departments, on making decisions on what, you know, capabilities to roll out or invest in because they are inherent to the platform. We talked about measurable outcomes that actually are, you know, not just based on ROI and things of that nature, but thinking about, you know, even beyond how much time we're spending with a doctor, you know, thinking about that halo effect and the impact of, you know, better design content, more timely communications, things of that nature. And then lastly, the conversation around change management and integrating the actual implementation with your change management approach, I think is pretty insightful.
It's going to be exciting a few years ahead of us with those heavily changing forces in the industry. The push more towards rare diseases, specialty topics. The obvious trigger, Viva separation, companies to decide which way they're going, and underlying that all, that entirely revolutionary AI impact that we're seeing in all other industries as well, in life science, no difference, obviously with that extra portion of compliance and regulatory that we need to consider. But I think it's going to be very busy 2, 3, 4 years ahead of us. And I believe everyone that is in this space need to think in months and not in years anymore, sometimes even in weeks.
Thank you, Dirk. Great conversation as always.
Thank you for listening to Life Sciences Fusion, a Cognizant podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and be sure to join us next time.